First, though, let's take a look at what's making rural news with Rachel Carbonell. Morning, Rach.
Hi, Ed. Well, another day, another trade tiff. The Chinese government is reported to have launched an anti-dumping investigation into barley imports from Australia. Australia is one of China's top grain suppliers, and it's the biggest supplier of barley to China, which is used over there for livestock purposes and also for the brewing industry. The suggestion is that Australian barley was sold at an artificially lower price. Nick Booth from Next Level Grain Marketing says that growers could see an impact in the short term, at least.
The market initially probably dropped $10 to $20 yesterday on the news. I think the trade are scrambling to try and understand what the repercussions of the probe will be. With this probe supposed to be going on for the next 12 months, and if China uses its political might to stymie further Australian exports, then we could have a longer-term problem. I think at the moment, once the dust settles, we should see prices come back to meet import parity back into the East Coast. Longer-term, if this issue isn't resolved, then we might see some problems further ahead.
Now, one of the more fascinating food controversies this year was the Great Honey Scandal, when it was alleged that honey labelled as pure had actually been adulterated or mixed with other products. So the ACCC was brought in to take a look at the issue. What has it found?
Well, it's a bit complicated, actually. Earlier this year, scientists, using a process called nuclear magnetic resonance, found that 1 in 5 honey samples had been adulterated, mostly with sugar syrup. Australia's largest honey processor, Capilano, and its Lowry brand, was the subject of the ACCC investigation, the issue being that some of the imported ingredients were alleged to have been adulterated without the company's knowledge. The ACCC investigation found that Capilano has taken steps to improve the quality assurance of its honey product, but it didn't uncover any other evidence that the company's Lowry honey brand was adulterated. But the investigation raised the issue of basically how reliable the testing methods are in this whole controversy. The ACCC's deputy chair, Mick Keogh, says the NMR testing method is yet to be regarded as totally reliable worldwide, although he concedes the present form of testing also has its limitations.
The consensus of those experts was that NMR is not developed to the stage where it's considered a reliable test. And it's certainly not recognised in any official way by food safety or regulatory authorities in any jurisdictions. Even though the limitations of the C4 test are well recognised, notwithstanding that, neither of those tests are considered reliable enough. And remembering that in a court process, you have to be able to establish fairly strong evidence of misleading and deceptive conduct in this case, and certainly the evidence and the information we were provided with indicated that was not the case.
And certainly the companies at the time did kick up quite a stink about that particular form of testing. So interesting to see that the ACCC has found that. Now, the deer population crisis is, an ongoing headline that writes itself, really. But there's now funding for a large-scale strategy to try to get deer populations under control. And, of course, there's a lot of to and froing about exactly how to do that.
Oh, there sure is. So as part of the national strategy, there's all sorts of ideas about how to tackle this problem, which is just getting worse and worse and worse. New South Wales has made some changes which do make it easier for hunters to shoot deer, but some farmers and environmentalists don't think that's anywhere near enough. It's estimated there are 1 million deer in Victoria now, and in New South Wales, they're supposed to have spread to about 17% of the state, which is double the area they were 9 years ago. A Senate inquiry into the issue began in Melbourne this week. The Invasive Species Council says deer should be classified officially as feral to remove the red tape that makes it difficult to cull them. New South Wales beef producer Ted Rowley says a lot of deer live on big areas of land that aren't farmed, and removing the protection that the animals currently have under the Game Act would be a really good start.
The key issue with having deer in the Game Act declared as a game animal is that the perception is very strong that they're protected. So people who don't actually incur direct immediate damage from having deer in large numbers close to them still think that they're protected. But of course on farmers' properties like mine and my neighbours and all through the southeast, the deer that eat our pastures don't live on my property. The deer that eat my pastures come from other properties. So until deer are recognised as a pest animal species across New South Wales under the Biosecurity Act, which is easy, till deer are recognised as a pest species formally, those people who own about 20% of our landscape will continue to think they're cute and protected.
And no doubt there'll be some commentary from animal welfare groups about what's to be done about the deer populations. Also on animal welfare this week, we saw the activist group PETA release another video highlighting cruelty in the wool industry. This is a campaign that PETA's been very active on for a few years now. What are the issues being highlighted once more?
Well, they're taking aim generally, as you said, at the wool industry, but they're targeting common practices like castration, tail docking and mulesing, which they say is still being done without pain relief. The group has also taken aim at some shearing incidents in which they say animal abuse has occurred. Laura Wayman-Jones from PETA says the wool industry still hasn't done enough to address animal welfare concerns, and she says it's not going to be enough until Australia phases mulesing out altogether.
Pardon the pun, but Australia really has become the black sheep when it comes to mulesing. It's been phased out in New Zealand. They've, in fact, just recently passed a law banning the practice. South America doesn't do it anymore. South Africa no longer muleses. Farmers there are managing not to mule their sheep, so it's obviously possible to avoid both mulesing and fly strike. And realistically, if Australia's wool industry can't exist without cruelly mutilating the backsides of sheep, then it really shouldn't be existing at all.
It's the issue that's not going away. On a less serious animal story now, you've got something with a bit of a happy ending, I guess, for us to wrap up with, and one that turns the tables on animal cruelty, I guess you could say. Tell us more.
Yeah, this might be classified as a animal cruelty to people issue and shows that animals can sometimes get their own back. It's a story with a bit of a bite, or as I remember it from my own version of this story as a kid, a bit of a bite with a nasty little twist to it. Are you intrigued?
Ow. Yes, I'm feeling pain already.
A very honest for sale ad for a gaggle of out of control geese has created a bit of a sensation. The woman who posted it is from Queensland, Leslie Dupree. And just a warning, there's some mild coarse language coming up.
We got these beautiful geese and we thought they'd be a wonderful addition to our beautiful zen-like property and everyone's going to live in peace and harmony. But they had other ideas. They were assholes. They decided they wanted to rule the roost, literally. They've terrorised our poor sheep. They've terrorised our peacocks, chased away all our chickens, and we can't come out the door without them having a go at us either. So we thought, time to go. They weren't listening to any reason. They've made little kids cry. They made me cry. I think it was a combo of breeding season and one too many males, and they really thought that they owned the whole place. And yeah, there was no sort of peaceful walking around, free-ranging and having a good time. It was just mayhem and chaos. I thought, no, it's time to go. Everyone was crying.
But as I said, there is a happy ending. Leslie apparently got a buyer and her asking price of $50 and a bottle of scotch to deal with the trauma.
God, what do you do with rabid geese?
A brave woman by the name of Chantelle Ridgeling has taken on the geese, and her game plan, a big dam. Good luck with that.
We're just starting up a farm stay, so we're trying to get a collection of animals together so that townies can come out and have the experience of it all. But we're a no-kill place, so they'll have a good home.
We have a huge dam, huge, huge dam on our property that our other six geese are on, so hopefully they'll all get on well and swim around our dam and enjoy life and maybe not cause too much terror. Let's see how it works out. You might have another story to run soon.
Ooh, that's some vicious honking. I can't see the townies enjoying that, Rach.
No, have you been bitten by a goose before? It really hurts.
No. Sounds ghastly. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
There you go. Anyone thinking of a B&B, double check for geese. Our rural news stories can be found online. Just head to the RN homepage and look for a Country Breakfast.